Good evening, everyone. Good evening. My name is Mark. I'm going to be your host for the evening. We are Trinity Metaphysical, and we are Eclipse, and we have an interesting show for you tonight. Tonight's topic is psychic development, in-depth discussion, and training. First of all, let's give a quick little introduction to people around the room. Sitting in front of me is the lovely Jackie, and tell us where we're broadcasting from.
Trinity Metaphysical Center in Hamburg, New Jersey.
Keep going.
Route 23?
Yes.
And 973-209-7070.
Yes, please don't call us tonight because we are going to be busy doing the show. Next to Jackie is the always beautiful redheaded...
Dana Bree.
Okay, and sitting next to me is the ever stately awesome sauce... No, I'm your next
one. Oh, hi.
Hello.
Diane.
And although she's not hooked into us right now, way across we have a new friend tonight. We have our unpaid, unloved, and unnoticed
intern.
She's loved.
So it's unpaid loved.
We'll change that. We have Mercedes. She'll be manning the phone line tonight. She'll be taking care of your call. She has a wonderful, sweet voice. Perfect for calling in and talking to us. So, tonight, we'll be talking about psychic development. It's something that Jackie does in her store. It's something she does to help people. And the funny thing is, people think that, you know, psychics, only this person can be a psychic. But the way I see it, everyone is born with a gift. You just got to know how to bring it out. Some people can do it right off the bat. Some people can't. It's like maybe riding a bike, you know. Some people just take to it right off and boom, there they go. Or other people, like maybe me when I was in first grade, had training wheels on for a couple of years.
And, so you were about 17.
That's why I was about 19. I'm taking jumps of training wheels. It was pretty cool. So that's the deal. That's what we're doing here. And right now, I want to know, how do you do psychic development in this store?
Well, we have class every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And every other week, we concentrate on psychic development in particular in certain areas. And then each week, other than that, we focus on something else, either like a past life regression or a spirit guide meditation, which is still developing your ability, just focusing on something a little bit different. So in class, we usually we practice on skills and techniques. You know, things that will quiet your mind or help you develop your abilities. And we usually, you know, sometimes we work in pairs, sometimes we work as a group. Every week it's something different. We might do a few exercises, do psychometry, which is getting information by objects you touch or looking at pictures. And then we might work a little bit on mediumship or clairvoyance. Or astral travel, we do something different each week. So a lot of the people that have come to class have stayed with the class for a few years, and then, you know, we also have people that, you know, they can't make every class, so they'll come in, you know, a couple times a month, or sometimes they come in once every 2 months. But we always work together as a team. And the first thing we do with our class is we do a meditation to balance your chakras and your energy points, and to open up your third eye. And then we proceed into our skills and our techniques and our exercises. So actually, we have Dan and Diane who both do the class every week. And so I'm going to ask them, start asking them if there's, you know, thing, you know, what exercise they might like more, how they've, you know, evolved with their ability. There are a lot of people that have come into class that weren't able to do anything, but they were so interested in it, and, you know, they were curious if they could, and then they end up being able to do everything, which is great. So let's start with you.
Okay. This is Dana. When I first started the class, I was trying too hard. And the harder you try, the less you are able to do. And so you get very frustrated. I get very frustrated because nothing is happening. And then I kept coming back, and the meditation helps relax, and it helps you to just let your mind go and not force anything. And You trust the first thing that comes into your mind. And so each time you do this, you get a little more confident and just relax. And it does not matter. To me, it does not matter if I get something or I don't. And that helps me actually be a little better and a little more sensitive to what I'm getting. And then certain people, if I'm paired with somebody, certain people are stronger at projecting back to you. So sometimes it's like, I'm not so good at looking at pictures or touching pictures and finding things, but I do seem to be fairly good at picking names out here.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackie, we had one session here where I was sitting next to a woman I'd never met before, and I described, you know, by focusing in on this woman, I described her grandmother to a T, who lived in Germany, just to a T. She couldn't believe what I was describing. And I got a pain in my head, and I saw an old woman walking with a cane, and she said her grandmother had a stroke, and she walked with a cane, and I described her clothes, and I was just trusting the first image that came into my mind. And then a couple more names came out, and I said, you know, these two names. And then Jackie was smiling at me, and she didn't say anything until the end of the class, and she said, it's my mother's birthday, mm-hmm. and that's my mother. My grandmother's name. She said they've been here all day, and I picked up on their names. As well as, and that was like probably, that was another exciting
yeah.
And sometimes I don't get very much at all. You know, but usually I'll get something. You know, I keep a notebook. I've been keeping a notebook ever since I started. So I put little stars and sometimes I get right, and then if I don't get it, then they don't get a star.
You know?
But at least I write down the exercise so I know what I was trying to do.
Right. And that's the point. Is the biggest thing when you're working on your intuitive side is to keep a journal. Or a notebook. In class, everybody has a notebook or a journal of their own, and they do write down what they're getting. You can always review it and go back to see, like, how you come along. Sometimes you're getting messages and information, and you're not sure where they fit. And I always, one of the things that I suggest to people, too, especially developing it on their own at home, is keeping a dream journal. Whether you keep a journal with you, you know, throughout your day as well, and in the car and things like that, you know, just so you have it, you can do that as well, but always keep it by your bed when you're sleeping. We get so much information while we sleep. A lot of people think they don't dream, but they're just not remembering it. And a lot of people know they dream, and they're getting all the information, and then, you know, they're not writing it down. So I suggest to people, keep a journal. Even if you wake up in the middle of the night, just jot down any little thing that you're getting, because if you keep a journal and by the end of the week you look back to all those days, then you'll get, you know, you'll be able to interpret it maybe when you're reviewing it. And maybe you can figure out what your messages are. A lot of people also have people who have crossed over that visit. You know, they come and visit them while they're sleeping. So definitely keeping a journal is a big part in developing your intuitive side or your psychic side. So definitely try to remember to do that. Okay, Diane, so you can talk about, you know, how what it is you...
Well, I have been doing this very long, so maybe a couple months. And I've always had, like, strange things happen to me when I was younger. But it usually just happens at random. So I'm trying to learn how to do it consciously.
That will.
I haven't gotten out of the data yet.
Yeah, but you've come a long way. You know, one of the things about, you know, one of the things that most people do when they first start is they have a tendency of thinking they can't do it, or they get frustrated with themselves. A lot of people, once they first start doing it, if they don't get something right away, the first thing they do is say, I'm not getting anything. I can't do this. And the minute you put that out there in your mind, or verbally, you're already consciously, you know, without even knowing it, blocking yourself from getting the information. And one of the biggest things that Diane did is, you know, she just stopped
You know, I think it was more the relaxed energy, like I always say, have a relaxed energy. Empty your mind. Don't think about whether you're going to get it or not. But everybody has it. Everybody can do it. It's just kind of allowing it to come through.
Well, the things that would happen to me when I was younger, like I said, it wasn't anything I was planning on. Things would just come.
Because you weren't, exactly, you weren't thinking about it. But we do, that's what we do. We subconsciously keep ourselves from getting the information. And a lot of times we get it, we dismiss it, or we second guess it. And then, you know, when something happens, we're like, I knew it. I knew I should have done that. Or I knew I didn't like that person. Or I knew there was something that told me, you know, to stay away from there. Or that I should have done this, done that. So, you know, I think you've come a long, long way. Because now you can do everything.
Well, I wish I could do it, like,
on demand.
On demand.
Well, you're getting it. That's how it works. That's the other thing. You know, once people start getting their, you know, developing their abilities, it's learning how to control them. You know, not necessarily that you're turning it on and off with a switch, but that you're able to, you learn what your strong points are. You learn where there might be a little bit of an area where you have to work a little harder on it, and then you'll learn how it comes in for you. The way it comes in for every person is different. You know, so how Dana might get information might not be how you're getting it. You know, she might actually see somebody, see the snap, see the image where you hear it, you know, being told to you, description and detail, but she can see it by description and detail. So
Or get a sense of it.
Absolutely.
You know, and basically it's learning just to trust your instincts, to mm-hmm. trust what's coming through to you. You're not going to get it all the time.
Trust your inner voice.
But you're going to get these strange bits of information that show up that seem to be totally disconnected to mm-hmm. what you're doing at the moment, and it turns out they are connected to something that's going to happen or something.
Oh, absolutely. And there's no time sometimes on it. Like people, they might see something and it doesn't happen for a month or a year, you know, and it's just really kind of going with it and not thinking. It's the overthinking part. That's what stops everybody, you know. Overthinking about you can do this, you can't do that, it's not possible for that, and you're not even supposed to be thinking about that. You're just supposed to be thinking, okay, you know, it's going to be what it's supposed to be, or if I'm supposed to have that information, I'm going to be told it. So, you know, you just don't question it. And even when you're around other people, you might get something. You know, you might come across somebody, it could be a friend, it could be a stranger, but you might be walking by somebody and all of a sudden you get this information or this feeling, you know, and, you know, sometimes it's a feeling, okay, that I don't like that energy, that I need to stay away from that person, you know. Or sometimes you might just pick up somebody's really sad, and it's not even by looking at their face, you know, maybe they're putting on this happy exterior, but, like, you're feeling like there's something that happened that really inwardly they're upset.
Oh, you might even see that somebody's going to get sick soon.
Oh, absolutely.
Really sick. And I've sort of seen that twice now, and it's just, mm-hmm. and I, in hindsight, I look back and say, oh, I did see that, because I made a comment about it out loud.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then it happened. But it had already been in effect, and they didn't even know about
mm-hmm.
it. These kind of things. So it does. So,
and you know, I know I started off by saying we start the class off with a meditation. I highly recommend the people at home. That is the biggest thing you can do to build your intuitive side, to open up your third eye. As often as you can meditate, it's great. You're putting yourself into a relaxed energy state. You want to dump anything that's gone on during the day or going on in your life, no matter how bad it is. You want to leave it in a basket or leave it outside the door. And you just want to open up your mind and relax. It's, you know, so that you go into that deep meditative state. We're in a place where you can just receive whatever it is. You know, for some people that can't meditate, they come and they do the energy work. That is their meditation mm-hmm. place. For other people who can take the time, you know, 15, 20 minutes a day at least, even, and just take some time to get into a quiet place and meditate for themselves. I know it's really hard for people with their busy schedules and with children and things like that, but it does wonders for people who are opening up that side. And then they're amazed at what they can do. You know, they find they can do everything. Then they're getting information, you know, from what's to come, and they're hearing people who have crossed over, or they're able to connect with their spirit guides. Meditation's a big part of opening up your third eye. Absolutely. And it really is just getting into that relaxed state where you just kind of floating.
Really, and I started meditating because if you look on YouTube, there's a meditation for anything you can think
absolutely.
Of. There's a meditation for healing. There's mm-hmm. a meditation for psychic development.
Yep.
There's meditations just for sleep. There's meditations
yep.
for everything, and they're really quite good. And you can, if you just, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can sit in front of your computer and close your eyes in front of YouTube and meditate. If you're working in front of your computer, well, maybe not at the office, but if you're home.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how your bosses feel about you going out while you're in the office, but...
And most people, it's the calming of their mind part. People's lives are so stressed, so overwhelming. You know, a lot of people suffer from anxiety, so it's tough. And the one thing about that is if you're able... Even if you could put the quiet music on before you go to sleep and it's working subliminally while you're sleeping, you know, it's getting in there at one way or another. Because, you know, that's usually, we don't take that time for ourselves. And really, in your intuitive side, your inner voice, developing your psychic side, it's all about getting yourself into that place. It's nurturing yourself, your inner self. So you can't get there if you're all wrapped up in all the other stuff going on. You have to be able to put yourself in that place. So, and it's a big change when people are able to do that. Then they kind of just walk around with a knowing. And they don't have that worry. They don't have that fear. You know, and sometimes I think that's why people look at us like we're weird.
Keeps you out of trouble.
Because
too.
We're like, they're like, you live in a fantasy world. That's ridiculous. Positive, just because you think positive doesn't mean good things are going to happen to you. But it all comes around.
But it does.
It does.
It does.
They haven't tried it, so they don't know.
Thought is energy. And intention is energy, and
yep.
there's good energy, and there's bad energy, and you might as well be on the good energy side.
Yep. The mind is a powerful tool.
And being able to perceive the bad energy is valuable.
Because
you can eliminate
you always
it, or,
trust it.
Or get out of the way of it,
Yeah. Even if people don't understand it at the time, if that's what your inner voice is telling you to do, then you do it. You know, it's really not questioning what you get.
Right.
Because the intuitive side always comes in a split second. And then our thoughts come in right after that. And most people get to the point where they're like up in their head going, but if I do that, then this is going to happen. If I do this, then this is going to happen. And then you know you hit your thoughts. So what you want to do is stop, take 3 deep breaths, and go back to asking your question again or going back in your mind and saying, okay, what was that first initial thing that came in? And for most people, it's not what they want to hear. So if they're really struggling with a decision or something going on in their life, they might have gotten their information 10 times, but it might not be what they want to hear. It might not be what they wanted for their answer. And so a lot of times they do dismiss it, you know, and then you kind of end up off your path for a little bit, you know. So it's really just getting to that point where you know it's always, it's real, it's trustworthy, you know, you can follow it. You know I joke when people are sitting in front of me, but I always tell them to take the 30-day challenge, like only follow what their inner voice or what their gut is telling them for 30 days straight, no matter what. They're going to feel like they are so out of their box because they're so used to figuring everything out in their head that if they just do that and see the difference in their life, like how things ended up kind of falling together and stuff, and it is, even if they can start with 2 weeks, you know, because, I mean, 30 days is long for some people, especially if they're overthinkers. But it's good to try it, you know. For some people, they've told me, you know, they went – a week doing that, and they were like, oh, my God. I did everything the opposite of what I normally would have done, but everything seemed to kind of work out. And they're surprised, like, how much your inner voice guides you in the right direction.
Really, since I've become part of the psychic development classes, I can't tell you. I look forward to it every week, and it's like I've never been so relaxed in my life. You know, it's like my whole life I've been kind of like, you know, Dana's got a chip on her shoulder, or she's, you know, get out of her way, but it's like, I feel like I've just found so many places to go with this that are so calming and relaxing and
inner peace.
And peaceful, exactly,
mm-hmm.
peaceful. I'm finding a lot of peace by doing this, and I think it's been really wonderful for me. It's been, people have noticed the change in me. Some of my friends have, and, you know. It's
also you become what you hang around. You know, I truly believe that saying. You know, when you're intermingled with people who are more like-minded and similar energy, you know, a more calming, relaxing energy. It's different. The things that were important back years ago when we were, you know, younger aren't, and that we wouldn't even think of that being even a priority now. And I know I was always a very hyper, worrywart, high-strung person, and I was always on edge.
No, not you.
And and now, like, at least even doing this, it's funny because when other people are like, wow, you're handling that so well. And I'm like, because now I just get to the point where you can't change. You can't change what you can't change.
Right.
You know, it is what it is. And if it's already happened, you definitely can't change it. So focusing on it and worrying about it doesn't change it. You know,
right.
It just makes it, you're just giving it energy, negative energy. And it's just, you know, being able to stay more a knowing state. You know, we're all human, so we're all going to tend to go back to that point.
Speak for yourself, pale face.
Yeah. Only pale face because it's winter. But, yeah, we do. We all slip up into that, and it's okay. You know, that's why we, you know, that's why we're all, like, kind of together, and we always pick each other up, and, you know, that's what you do. A lot of people that walk through this door because they just feel different.
Well, and this is definitely a learning experience, too. I mean, I keep learning more each time I come, and sometimes the progress seems like it's slow, but it's not really a matter of progress. It's a matter of absorbing. Like you said, just picking up things and trusting yourself, and, you know, I may go for a long time without feeling like, like I've made any progress, and then I'll have a spectacular class.
Right, right.
And think, wow. Wow, I really did it. That's kind of amazing, you know. And then, but then I think, well, you know, I just relaxed with it, and it didn't matter one way or the other whether I got it or not. But I was really excited that I got something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the next class, I might not get hardly anything at all, but I know it's there. I know it's possible, and I know I can do it. And it's just trusting what pops in my head first thing, without even dismissing anything. That's what you always tell us, you know. Mm-hmm. Trust your instinct, and too many times people just dismiss what pops into their head.
That's why we all went through crap. Because we all, and yet every single person in hindsight will say,
in hindsight, yes,
I knew there was something, but you didn't want to listen to it, and you know, it's difficult. It's difficult being in a human form and trying to use the sixth sense, you know, that side of you that's not something that, you know, push to develop or condition when you're young. And that's the thing. It is just like physical therapy. You're conditioning a part of you that's never been that way before. It's there. But
unless
it's
you were lucky
used.
Enough as a child to have
Absolutely.
Parents who
like
understood
now,
that.
Like people
yeah.
are now.
Yeah.
You know, when it's encouraged or, you know, you're shown how to use it or open it up. And there's a lot of people later in life now who are using it, who are developing it. And, I mean, obviously we know that. Like, you know, there's a lot of people here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're developing their abilities at 50 and 60 years old,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing wrong with that. And they're really strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's,
we're also past the age where we care what anybody thinks.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, age has nothing to do, and how long you've been doing it has nothing to do. You could have started doing, you know, becoming really strong 2 years ago, and you could be as strong as somebody who's been doing it for 20 years. It just depends how it's working for you, how much you use it.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are doing this every day. They work on it every day. They work on their spiritual side. They work on their intuitive side, and they're constantly conditioning it, working it. It's, you know, it's like any other part of the body.
I think the hardest thing for me is because I always think it's just my thoughts, something I made up. I haven't been able to tell the difference when it's something that I'm picking up from somewhere, because I think, oh, it's just my thought and it popped into my head. But
all
it turns out
things like that pop into your head are from the
inner
voice. Those are your guides.
Well, I didn't realize that until when we had that seance at one time with David here,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking to that woman, and he made reference to something that happened to her past, and he looked at me and he said, "You just got it too." But I just thought it was my, because I was picturing what might have happened to her in my head, and I thought it was just
information.
I just thought it was me imagining it, but it was her saying it out, and it just kind of freaked me out.
Well, that's the thing, too. So, a lot of people can tap into what somebody else's, you know, an image, something, a memory that they have in their head. Some people are able to see that or pick that up off of a person. And that's why I always say people have different abilities and are in different ways. So somebody who might be more able to read energy might not be the same kind of person who actually gets something, you know, specifically told to them or something like that. There are people who can walk around people and be like, I cannot be around that person. Like, I know I'm getting told I can't be near them. Like, their energy is not good for me. I don't feel good around them, you know. And they tend to stay away from that person, whereas another person might just get that, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, my guide is telling me not, you know, to watch out for this person. Everybody's got it different, but that'll be next week's episode on avoiding negativity and how to deal with negative people.
I just when I'm around people like that, I just feel the walls come up. It's like my own little bubble. You can't come in my bubble. I don't care what you do on the outside. You live your life, and I'll just you can't touch me.
Yeah, it's good to you always keep yourself in a, you know, what do I say? Surround yourself in the white light or your aura. Protect your aura with the white light, and then your invisible bubble. And my bubble has a tendency of having rays coming out of it, like the sun, because I don't even want those people near my bubble. So I have a super duper, and you know, that's when you get to the point where you don't care. Like, I don't care what other people, I don't care if anybody's sending something negative and thinks negative. I know, you know, inwardly, like, how I am or the person I am. A lot of people, when you have stuff like that coming at you, they don't even know. You know, they either only know something through something through something, or they're in a bad place. People who are like that, they're in their own bad place, and that's what you just have to remember. Even places that are filled with, you know.
To digress a little bit, when you think about following your thoughts that come into your head, the reason I got here in the first place was, God, almost a year and a half, 2 years ago, was I had an experience in my house. It was a ghost experience, and I didn't realize it at the time, and I wasn't even sure what I was doing. But then the very next day in the paper, I see classes for ghost hunting, which then led me, and it's like but I never looked at the paper, but something made me look at the paper, and then something made me call the telephone number. And this is like about 45 minutes drive away from where I live, so it was, you know, it wasn't next door. So I came and started the ghost classes, and then I found out they had psychic development classes, one thing led into the other, because I just paid attention to each little clue that came my way, because as if something was leading me here to participate in this. And so, like, almost like it was meant to be, or a spirit guide was leading me here, or something.
I definitely feel we're led to certain people. Yeah. You know, whether people are in your life for a short time, you know, forever. But when certain people come into your life, they're meant to. You know, the same here. You know, even though people might have felt they were led here, they were also led to me for a reason, for me to be around their energy. You know, every positive force or energy in your life brings you up and fills you up. It's like gas. Fills you up with positive energy. If you're constantly around people who are, like, you know, aren't in a good place, they work in bad places, maybe they have bad negativity at home and family or marriage, or just they're just downers. You know, it's hard. Or if they're constantly gossiping or in bad places in general, judgment. I always say that. The biggest thing with this stuff is you can't be around anybody who judges. You know, and we all know that. You know, it's the biggest downer in not being able to use your ability. Because most people that have this ability and were trying to use it, they were judged. You know, there's a lot of people that still are. But it's okay. Like, now I always say we're the normal ones.
Like, yeah, I'm the crazy one in my family. So. Yeah. Oh, although all my brothers and everything, they all have abilities, but they deny them. So I'm the crazy person.
I think we're all a little bit crazy, though.
No, I think when we all get old, we're going to have to make up our own senior citizen center, because everybody else will think we're nuts. You know? So if we see things, we, you know, Everybody else thinks
it's Trinity
normal.
Metaphysical Senior Center.
Exactly.
We'll make our own paranormal penis.
Pick up your walker at the door.
That would be a good show, actually. Like old people paranormal.
Yeah.
You just sit, kind of sitting at the old folks' home. It's 2 p.m, you're having dinner. And
I was thinking about that. I thought that was hysterical.
And you wouldn't have to say pass the salt because you could levitate it and move it down.
I don't know. You would think it.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Did you hear that? What? No, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that either. And they're yelling at each other. That would be a totally different show. I even got Mercedes laughing. You can't hear her laughing, but she's laughing over the corner there. Okay. Yeah. I mean, with the whole thing, like, I always thought I had something when I was younger, and then something happened, or I kind of blocked it out and pushed it out and didn't want to deal with it. So, you know, I'm doing these classes to myself to kind of pull this all back in now. It's kind of fun. And the other reason we do them is because of eCrypt, which is an entirely different episode. But it's interesting like that.
To build all that, you know, building your awareness for when you're around spirits. You know, when they're trying to talk to you, the biggest thing, reason people can't hear a spirit, or when they're trying to give you information, is because, you know, they're not relaxed enough. You know, they're thinking too much. I need to talk to my mom. I need to talk to my mom. Why can't I talk to my mom? Why isn't my mom talking to me? It's because you're doing that. So even if they're trying to, you're not getting it because you're too busy calling them in and inviting them in is one thing. Obsessing on it and getting all bent out of shape because you can't get it. You're too busy thinking about it. You're too busy overthinking.
I sometimes have better conversations with total strangers than I do with my family members.
Yeah.
Or somebody else that I'm doing the exercise with. I could hear their whole family talking, like an entire conversation. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to my own family, don't hear a word.
And what's interesting is even when there's people who have come to the class that don't come every single week, no matter when we've done mediumships, nobody has ever not gotten somebody to communicate with on their own, even if they thought they couldn't believe it, that they did. But it's just a matter of, you know, where your focus is and, like I said, you know, being able to just receive it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. They're always right with us.
I find that thought kind of comforting.
Well, when you just know they are, then you're not. You know, you can't physically feel them. Some people do. Like, we can feel, like, a warmth coming in. Some people feel cold. But it's just the fact that you can't, you know, in human form, can't touch them or hug them. But when you're really, you know, using your ability, you can get your information. You can talk to your, you know, anybody who's crossed over. And then you just feel that. You can feel it come over you when they're talking to you that, yeah, they're still with you, you know. And some of us, yeah, when they want us to see them or when we want to see them, we see them. We see them in physical form, you know. It's you know, some people are better with being able to, you know, see the full-bodied apparition or a solid form. Some people see it as a haze. You know, some people, I tell them, they don't realize, you know, that, like, when I first started, it looked like heat that was coming off of the road when there would be somebody there. And then as you start developing it more and you're comfortable with it and that type of thing, then they'll start to get, you know, more solid. So everybody sees it different. Some people see it as a shadow.
Except that when somebody's passed away, within, like, I don't know, like a certain amount of time, I think a lot of people will see the full figure.
Absolutely.
Because when my mother passed, like, I think it was 2 months later, I'm in my house. She walks into the room, and I'm sitting on the couch, and I can't believe what I'm seeing. And I said, Mom, is that you? And she doesn't say anything, but she's happy. Mm-hmm. She sits down. She sits for a while, chattering to herself like she always did. And then she walked toward the door and just disappeared. And I thought, oh, my God, I just saw her. The full, I mean.
So you see how you were able to see her because you didn't react in panic. You know, you didn't.
I'm in shock, actually, but not panic. No,
and you weren't afraid.
No.
When they come to you at first and you see them full body.
It was in the middle of the day.
People,
some of these people panic and then they scare them away. And I know for me that's what happened with me. But I was sleep, like when I was sleeping, my father came to me and I was half asleep and I kept hearing somebody calling me by my nickname.
Yeah.
And he was really one of the few that called me by that nickname. And I remember answering, you know, when somebody's trying to wake you up, I remember going, "What, Daddy? What, Daddy?" And then I remember as I woke up a little more, I'm like, "Wait a minute."
Yeah.
You crossed over. And then I remember opening my eyes and I saw him standing right next to me. And he's like, you know, well, he used to call me Boopy, but he's like, "Hey, Boop-a-loop." And I remember when, you know what was that? Because I was half asleep and I gasped him and he disappeared. I'm like, crap, I know better than to do that. But that's, for people who get frustrated, that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
So don't lose your incentive to try to develop that, because it happens to everybody. You know, it's not something that's not common. I mean,
one time, sometimes I understand, I mean, I don't know for sure, that when people pass, you know, have passed on, that one time they will appear
mm-hmm.
to a family member to let them know
yep.
that they're okay.
A lot of times for a lot of people, they come in their dreams
mm.
because they have visitation there, because that's where they know the person's going to be comfortable. Then
yeah.
they see how they're going to react to that. And a lot of times they can actually have an entire conversation. And that's good. There's a lot of people, you know, that come in the store that say that their parents or their brothers and sisters or loved ones, friends, you know, husbands, wives that have crossed over, that's how they come to them. And that's why I suggest reading a journal. So, you know, that seems to work for, you know, work good for people, especially when they're trying to get that down and then they want them to come, you know, when they're awake.
Yeah.
You know, my father came to me about a month after he died in a dream. But then, you know, I have people, you know, my family members say, you were just dreaming. And I said, no. No, he was actually there. I know that.
You know that.
I just know that. But,
a lot of other people don't. They're like, yeah, right. You kind of can't make that up, though. When they come to you and they tell you something, or they're giving you advice on something, How do you make that up?
Well, I think it in today's you know, time, where there's so much on TV about all of this stuff, that more and more people are much more open to discussing it,
mm-hmm.
and they don't dismiss you as nearly as much.
I think they're more envious that it hasn't happened to them, but it's not
it's just they haven't tried.
That's exactly it. They, you know, when you're not somebody who's constantly doing it, it's no different than having a hobby or learning a new job on the side or something like that. When you're somebody who's constantly working it, constantly,
mm-hmm.
you know, conditioning yourself, like I said, or using it all the time, you can only get stronger and better. So it absolutely is possible for, you know, what I think a few people in the class, by 2 months after they had started coming every single week, were able to do things they never even dreamed they could do
mm-hmm.
because it was every week. You know, it was eight straight weeks. Now some of you have been doing it for 2 years straight. And, you know, you can walk in and you can walk into a house when we're doing a paranormal investigation and you know it's a woman who did this. You know it's that. You know, everybody gets different things. Or, you know, you might know what's coming or what to stay away from in your own life. You know, when you're sitting there getting information from other people, you're able to – I'm amazed. I'm always so proud of the class because, like, when there's, like, a list this long of information and every single point on it is right that you guys got off of the other person, that's amazing.
I find that amazing, too. It's very exciting, yeah.
Yeah, especially when it's, like, small details. I'm like, that's so cool. You guys are getting so good. Gold stars for everybody.
I know some people that are sensitive and they think that their loved ones are coming back to visit them, but it scares them. And that part I don't understand. You know, if it was somebody you loved and weren't afraid of when they were alive, I don't understand why people would be afraid of them. But they are. And it stops them from,
mm-hmm.
you know, experiencing it.
Jackie touched on something before. She talked about people being chastised almost when they first find out they have this, being made fun of. If somebody's, you know, just starting off with this and they think they have it, they don't want to say anything, what's something they can do at home to kind of work their psychic muscle here?
Gave them a whole bunch of stuff that they could do working at home.
But like I said, the biggest thing is the meditation.
Mm-hmm.
The meditation, leaving a journal, and not putting any expectations on themselves, because the more they try, the not trying meaning opening themselves up, but trying meaning getting frustrated because they're not getting information. The more frustrated they get, the less they're going to get.
Now, when you're on your own, how would you do with the validation, though? How would you get something like that?
Because what you do is you're going to ask for something that, you know, that you would be able to validate, whether it's giving me, you know, if you say you're trying to, you know, communicate with a loved one, and you're going to say, you know, you need to tell me something or do something that only, that lets me know that's you. And for some people, it might be, you know, they knocked over, like for one person, was they knocked over a picture, and in the picture was them with that person, you know. Sometimes, for somebody, it is losing coins. They like their parent was somebody who likes pennies and things like that, so they do pennies. But for most people, if they're meditating and they're doing a meditation, they're going to go somewhere in their meditation or get that really deep inner peace feeling in the middle of the meditation. So they're going to know that is the validation. You know, just the way they feel. And as they're walking around, all of a sudden, that's how it works. Like, all of a sudden, it's almost like a download or like, all of a sudden, one day you're like, oh my God, how did I know that?
Right.
You know, and it's that you're validating yourself all the time. For other people, they like to come and check with somebody. Which, you know how many readings I do where it's really to either confirm or validate that what that person got was right? They need to hear it from somebody else, but they don't want to tell you the information. So then after you tell them, like, yeah, that's what I thought, I kept getting that, but I didn't trust it. Usually that's the first thing they say. You know, I wasn't sure and I didn't trust it.
You know, now the other thing I wanted to ask about was when people, you know, when they get that download, sometimes people say it's like a sixth sense or something like that, or you just hear a voice. What's the difference between actually getting information and then, or just kind of just having a gut feeling, or is it both the same thing? That's
that
intuition.
See,
so like I said, so everybody has that gift. They just need to know how to interpret it.
Yeah, and some people have more all at once, so it's overwhelming. Some people might be getting not just what their gut is telling them, but they might feel, they can feel when there's somebody around, or they can, you know, usually it happens that they have more than one thing. So they, you know, they, you know, they're not sure how to differentiate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, with the is there a way to like fine tune that? Again, you're getting that information. I know you talk about the meditation and everything like that, but is there like something like we can actually tell people? All right, this is exactly how to fine tune. I see you say meditation, but you know, what type of meditation do you do?
The fine tuning is constantly doing it, constantly practicing it, constantly using it. So no matter what you're doing, you're never second-guessing your gut. You're always doing your meditation. You are always aware of any kind of signs that are coming in, whether it's synchronistic events, things are, you know, when you get that nagging feeling that you're following it, even if you're around other people, following what you're feeling around that person, all of that adds to that development. So it's all of those little things. The way you fine-tune it is to constantly use it, because you can't just do it like once a month. In other words, you change your way of life. You are always just following your guidance. You know, when you're doing it once in a while, that's one thing, but when you start using it all the time, then you're open to everything, and that's what happens.
Well, you're becoming just more aware of your inner thoughts.
Absolutely.
Your inner self, you know.
Yep, it's definitely, you know, it is tapping into your...
And so you don't even have to be asking specific questions. You just have to be...
It's the knowing. I don't know any other way to say it, except that you change from walking around going, but what's going to happen? But what if? But what if? When the what ifs are out, when there is no what if, when those two words are gone, not like what if we go to Aruba, what if we go to the shore, not the good what ifs, when the bad what ifs are gone, and you never say, but what if this happens, but what if, then you know you got to that place of you know, more inner peace and more of a self, of, you know, that self-awareness and just that knowing. And I always say that when you get to know the knowing, there isn't a question on whether it's your inner voice or whether it's your guidance. There is no question. It just is. You know, you just there, you don't question it. You just do it. And then, you know, the, just like they say, Jill Vitale is really big with this. When you get to a point where it doesn't matter, you don't need to figure out how it's going to happen. You don't need to figure out why. You don't need to figure any of the figuring, and it just is. And you just know what's going to be. That's when you know you got to that really good place. Because then miracles happen. And people who believe in miracles, they know they do. People who think that it's, you know, boulder dash and no way does that happen, that stuff is ridiculous, you know, that, you know, you're, that's a pipe dream, all that stuff, they'll always be in that same place. You know, they might be okay, but they'll never be huge. Never, you know what I mean? It's that's why we know what to do. You just keep going, you know, and don't have any fear.
I've had people ask me, you know, well, how do you know? I just know, you know.
Well, that's what you say.
I just know.
How do you, you know, you just.
And I'm not wrong.
Yeah, but when you have that confidence and when you just know that, but it's more of like a, not an ego confidence, but just a, yeah, I'm content. Thing.
I can't explain that feeling. It's like when my father died about 3 weeks later and he rang the bell. And, well, I heard a bell ringing, I should say, but I knew it was him and I knew he was saying goodbye. I didn't hear that. It was just this feeling that just came over me, and I just knew what it was. And it was a very calm feeling, but I knew why he had done it and that it was my dad. And people said, well, how did you know? And I said, I just know.
Yeah,
I just know it.
It's hard to explain, like, even the fine-tuning part, you'll just know. You'll know. Like, there's no way to tell you you're not going to know. You know,
yeah.
You will know. And if you're questioning it too much and you're too much of an analytical person, forget it. Because you'll always be trying to figure it out. So how could you possibly get to that point where you're just like, okay, I know it's coming, I know it's there. Because you can't, because you're somebody who's, you know, you're too busy trying to figure it out.
Actually, he thought he was saying goodbye. He hasn't left yet.
Yeah, they never really use
it. He's always around, but I find that kind of comforting.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's what we usually do when people are like, I miss so-and-so, you know, obviously I miss the physical form of people who have crossed that I love too, but I know when I say to them, no, they're still with you, they kind of know, but they don't really know. You know what I mean? They don't, they can't feel them all the time, you know, and they're not necessarily always somebody who believes that, yes, that person's there, just talk to them. You know, for me, I know. I know because I know when I can feel my mom hug me, even though she, you know, not physically here, but it feels just the same. So, you know, they're still the same. You know, just on a different realm.
I had a friend ask me if her little dog was with her. Apparently there was a dog she really loved that, you know, died. And I said, of course he is. I said, why would you think not? But she find, you know, she wants him to be there so badly, but she's afraid to believe that he is.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people like that. No.
So.
But it is. Do you want to go to yours?
Yeah, we have something for the very first time. We actually have a paid sponsor who is going to do a commercial on our show right now. We're going to take a quick 2-minute break, and I want you guys to hear from Pam. Pam is a vendor for essential oils. And she has put together a very good commercial that will coincide with the topic of today's show. So we'll be right back. And, oh, hold on. There we go.
Hi, this is Pam.
Hi.
From Tell Them Pam Sent You.
Tell Them Pam Sent You.
Here to talk to you about Young Living Essential Oils. Are you using essential oils in your spiritual and healing practice? Are you using them for wellness and meditation? I know I am. Essential oils raise your vibration and can enhance your psychic experience. There's an undeniable movement going on right now, an awakening. And people are finding out what essential oils are and what they can do when they're used in their purest form. Their healing properties are undeniable. Young Living essential oils are among the top 4% in the world, never cut with synthetics or additives. They're planted, harvested, distilled, and bottled by the same company. That's the Young Living seed-to-seal process. Current labeling policy for essential oils requires that for a bottle to say 100% pure, get ready for this, it only has to contain 5% essential oil. Can you ingest your lavender or frankincense? Take a look at your bottles. If they say do not ingest, not for human consumption, do not ingest. And don't put it on your skin. Use Young Living therapeutic grade essential oils. They truly are 100% pure, free of chemicals, pesticides, and heavy metals. You deserve the best. Your clients deserve purity, not oils cut with fragrance. What's in your wellness kit? Can you apply your peppermint and your lavender now freely, knowing the difference? Please contact me for more information. Pam Jordan at VibrantSense.com. That's www.PamJordan.VibrantSense.com. And look me up on Facebook. Look for Tell Them Pam Sent You.
All right, and we are back. How was that very first commercial ever? And it's time to go through some time. So what we're doing right now is we're going to be trying to get some calls.
Okay, so we are back right now. Very first commercial ever. I hope you liked it. That was Pam from Essential Oils, and you're going to be hearing a bunch from her every show. She'll be tailoring her commercials again for every broadcast we do. I want to start the third segment of the show now. We'll be talking about to live callers on air. Our first caller is going to be Maureen. Now, Maureen is a friend of Jackie, and we're going to bring her up just shortly. Jackie, if you want to just tell us about Maureen really quick while we get her on.
Well, Maureen's been coming to the store for about 3 years. And so she's been with the store a long time. She's pretty much done everything here. So she's had a lot of readings, energy work. She's done Reiki, and she's just a big part of the store. She actually lived in New Jersey, and she now lives in California, and she's still part of the store. She comes back every few months, and when she's in, she comes to the store, but she gets phone readings regularly. So she's a great customer, she's a great friend, she's a great person, and I know she was hoping she could call in a few days. So I think they're getting
what her. Part of California does she live in?
Fresno.
Oh.
So you ready?
Hello?
Hello? Hi, Maureen.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
There's a little bit of a delay, so.
That's okay, I can hear it.
So I was just telling them a little bit about you, that you've been coming to the store for about 3 years. And that
yes,
you still are a big part.
I'm sorry?
I said, and even though that you moved from New Jersey out to California, that you're still a big part of the store.
I am. I came home and visited, and I do my phone calls all the time.
So I was telling them that in some of the reading, phone readings we've done or in-person readings and just through energy work, how that, they help with people being able to trust their inner voice or just things that are happening to them, that they're able to, that it helps to develop their awareness. So I thought maybe you could just, talk a little bit about your experiences with the, with how the readings and energy work have helped you with that side.
They've actually helped me quite profoundly. Coming in at first with you, just doing the readings by themselves were helpful, but then when we added the energy work with the readings, it was very profound. I just started to get little hunches, and it turned out that I was right, and I just chalked it up to coincidence. But then if it was a bigger issue or a problem or just something on my mind, and I would come in for a reading and you would just do the reading and I wouldn't say anything, we would be completely on the same page. So my hunches were growing into intuition.
Right. That's great.
It is great. Yeah, it was sneaky at first, just a little bit, but it's definitely very strong now. I've been with you for, gosh, over 3 years now.
Yes, and you've gotten very accurate. That's what I was mentioning earlier in the show, that there are people that come in and their readings are like validation or confirmation that what they're getting themselves is correct, and a lot of times the reading will validate that. And for you, you're very accurate, you know. So
I've also found that in working with you, you're very gifted and talented, very kind, empathetic. I've just found that I can feel people's energy better. I just know if someone's okay and their intentions are good, or if they're not, and I should just, you know, watch out.
Right. That's good. Yeah, I mean, you're great. You're great with energy now. You know, just knowing.
Thank you.
So, I think you're great. So, but that was so nice for you to say.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. So, but thank you for sharing with us, Maureen.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Diane wants to know how the weather is.
Oh, you'll be very pleased to know that it poured all day and it's been cold. We need it, though. We're in the midst of the worst drought since 1970,
oh, wow.
Especially in my region where I'm living.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
We're in the middle of the ice age over here.
Yes.
This chunk of us is going to get chipped off.
Yeah, but I can go in my yard and get a cup of snow and it'll turn into water.
That's true.
All right, so I'm sure I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, thank you, and you all have a very good evening. Take care.
Thanks, Maureen.
Thank you, Maureen.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
So I know they're working on getting a green mirror, right? We're having a little issue with the phone system. Okay, Diane.
What?
One of the things like Maureen tapped on was just how she was saying that things started out as a hunch. You know how you were saying the same thing, like you weren't sure what was real or what wasn't.
Yeah, I still don't. I still have a hard time.
That's a hard part for people. That's the differentiating between your inner voice and your thoughts. And I always say when you're thinking too much, when you're going back and forth, then you hit your thought. But if it's an idea that popped in your head, it came in like, you know, like a split second. When ideas don't just pop in your head for no reason at all. There's a reason for it. So that's why I always tell people to keep a journal, because then it can just let you write it down.
It always feels like it's my thoughts, though. So, you know, I would just think, well, I would have thought that getting information from the outside would have felt different, but it doesn't really. It feels just like if I'm thinking it. So I have a hard time trusting what I'm getting because I think it's me.
Yes.
I think it's something that I'm thinking.
Like you'll start having that knowing, okay, this isn't me. Because now I get this different feeling. Like for some people, they might get a little bit of a different feeling. Like it almost nags them at that. It'll start to nag at them that, like, now you're able to, you know, tell when something's coming in. You just write it down or you just say it.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part for people to really, that's their challenge. You know, being able to, when something pops in, just saying it. Just no matter what it is. And I joke in class, cause, and I know you guys have heard me say this a lot, but I don't care if a ham sandwich comes in your head. You have to say ham sandwich. It fits in there somewhere. You know, whether it be somebody, that's what somebody ate for lunch, or, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just the point is, even if you're trying to focus on something of somebody and where somebody came from or trying to communicate, if you're getting some odd piece of information like that, you always want to, you know, put it down. And the best way for people to start, especially if they're new, is really keeping a journal, especially once they're starting doing meditating, because they're going to get lots of different things in meditating. And constantly keeping it, Dana's had gone through a couple journals since she started, and she logs every single stitch of information she gets at every single class.
I do.
And then she can review back to it. You know, I do the same thing. You know, even if I'm getting, you know, if we're doing past life and I get information, like I'll go back and say, this seemed like this fit with something else, and it ended up being more information on a life from, it could be 6 months ago for somebody. You know, so
I still haven't been able to do the past life willfully. I've had many experiences where I've remembered things, different lives at different times.
Yeah.
But I wasn't trying to do it. It just was there.
Because you weren't trying.
I know. That's the point. When I try to do it, it's not as...
Well, that's why people get it when they sleep. Like, that's why you have such prominent dreams. Some of us in our dreams trying to dictate our dreams. then it kind of defeats the purpose. You're like, no, that's not how my dream is going to go. It's going to do this. So usually somebody doesn't have time to like think of their subconscious. You know, they're just off in sleepy land, and they're getting their information. You know, they don't think about it.
Most of the time, I don't write things down, but most of the time I can remember them.
Yeah,
I guess I should, but I don't like to write.
I'm sorry, your memory changes things. I know for a fact.
That's why I've been trying to
you
write.
You know, and I've kept journals off and on for a really long time, and I would remember something, and from years, you know, and I'd think about it, and I thought I knew what would happen. I looked at the journal, I said, oh, my God. I changed it totally in my mind.
Yeah.
Usually I made it better than it was.
Yeah.
I'm just not a writer, though. You know, I tried to do that the first time I went to Antarctica. I brought a journal to write
cool.
down, but I never wrote anything.
Maybe, like, for you, a voice recorder, you know, you have one.
Yeah.
Just, like, saying it, because you can always go back and, for some people, that's easier for them. No, they don't. They won't want to write, but... Using a, if it's dictated somewhere, then at least you know exactly what it was that you saw. And if you feel like it's something similar, like it could be a couple weeks, a couple years, a couple months later, and you feel like you experienced that already, or you think you had that already, you can go back and say, you know what, I had the same dream, only this time I did this. So we have another caller on the line, so they're gonna get. Vera.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Vera.
You there? Oh, hi, everybody. I've been listening.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Are we going to
be great? Every time somebody says something that reminds me of something that happened to me, I'm like, yes, you know. But.
Well, tell us what happened to you.
Well, how I got interested in the group was wanting to go to you know, the eCrypt to learn to ghost hunt. And like Dana said, it was Providence, you know. She looked in the paper. I looked online, and you were just starting a class. And so that's how I got interested in eCrypt. And then I started doing the weekly psychic developments, which I had although I had self-studied for years and years before that by doing, you know, the kind of meditations you get online or on CDs and things like that, I had never gone and done interactive psychic development with other people. And that's how I think I opened up a lot. So, and I think I'm a lot better than when I started. I felt that my role at ECRIP was going to be as a videographer, but it seems that I'm a lot more sensitive. I'm getting stuff that I don't think I ever would have gotten before. So that's my story. So.
An ongoing story it is.
I can hardly hear you. Speak up there. Is that Dana?
Oh, yes. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, now I can hear you, yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and then tell us about Dave, because Dave started with you too, your husband.
I know. He's not very radio friendly, so he's not going to talk, but I'll tell you about him. He wanted to drive me because he just didn't want me to drive at night alone, because I too live near you, Dana, 45 minutes away from
right.
the store. And, you know, he started going to the psychic development, and lo and behold, turns out he's got quite a gift, too. And his mantra used to be, I got nothing. You know, I got nothing. And then one day he said, I got nothing, but Jackie, your dad came to me, and he wants you to bring me a picture of him when he was younger to prove that it's really him. And Jackie looked at him like, what? And that was the start of it, you know.
Yep. He said, every time we got to him, I got nothing. I got nothing. And all of a sudden, like 3 weeks later, you got nothing? He goes, I got something. He didn't give up, and that was one of the great things about Dave. He said no matter what, he never got, like, discouraged, and he just kind of, he went through the class, and you know, he was, you know, it's just like somebody getting physical therapy on a leg, and it still isn't moving so well, and then all of a sudden one day it does. He never gave up, and he never lost faith, and then one day he was getting so much stuff, and now he gets stuff all the time.
But he didn't expect anything.
That's why he ended up doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's one of the secrets. That's one of the secrets, is not to expect anything,
yep.
but just be relaxed, and if
no
it comes in,
no
rules or expectations,
yourself.
Exactly.
You know, you just be happy with what you get, or if you don't get anything, it's just that you're around that energy. Every time you're around somebody who is like-minded or has similar energy, you're growing your energy,
mm.
you know. So it's great, and just, you know, not getting frustrated with yourself to the point where you get so down that you feel, you know, discouraged, because you can't compare the growth, the pace, or any of that to another person. We're all different, you know. And like I said, some people have strong points in certain things, and some people have strong points in others.
And some people have worse weeks than others.
Yeah, but sometimes you just have a bad day.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we're just off. No matter how much we meditate, maybe we're just, you know, maybe our body needs a rest. And sometimes I say that to people, I'm like, did you ever think maybe you just need to rest? You just need to, you know, take, you know, because sometimes they're not sleeping. You know, there's a lot going on. That's why meditation is great, too. If there is a lot going on in your life, it helps to, you know, alleviate some of that stress.
I want to hear about your astral projection, Vera, because you seem to be really bad.
You must be psychic.
Well, I was doing that before a long time, because I read about it, and then there were things that I read about how you could practice it, and that's what I used to do, and I once told Jackie it was like a cheap vacation. You could, you know, you could just go and travel and go places. And then the couple times, and I always thought it was like I was more meditating, that I wasn't really going anywhere. And then we went and we did one of those astral projection meditations that you do. And I had my girlfriend put something on in her house. And I went there in Hawaii and saw it and phoned her after it, and I said, did you put a, and it was a crystal, on your bed? And she said, yes, that was it, you know. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, you did another astral projection, and I went to her house, and I described something that was on her dining room table, and I called her afterwards, and she goes, no, I don't have anything like that. She was at work. And then an hour later, like it was 12 o'clock midnight when we got in, she calls me. She goes, I can't believe it. But what you described, I had described like a stained glass vase with like orange and red and yellow little square glass inlay in it. And she swore she didn't have it. And then when she got home, she found it on her dining room table. She had totally forgotten that she had it. And she called me because she was so excited, saying, yes, yes, that is what I have. So those are things that make you feel...
Yeah, do you see yourself flying through the air, or do you see yourself? Or
I do. And I see myself, attached with like a thread to my earthly body, and
good.
I see myself
really?
Just taking that thread and going where I want to go.
Not coming back.
And then you come down through the ceiling, or you just sort of melt through the things, and wow.
I just come. I fly with my little string. So that's all I know. But and that's how I get back. But I remember reading that somewhere, that's how you do it. So, you know, everything I do is books. You know, before I met Jackie, it was all books because there weren't many places you could go to. I'd taken a course or two. I'd taken some stuff with the Edgar Cayce Foundation. About past lives and things like that. But, you know, it was, you know, these one-time things. But when you go every single week of every single month all year, you know, something's got to happen. I mean, it just, it's like practicing tennis. If you go every week, you get really good at tennis. You know, that's the way it is. It's a muscle, and it becomes like muscle memory after a while, you know, of how to get relaxed and do what you are planning to do.
Well,
that's what
that's
development
what
does for you.
Yeah. Well, I haven't gotten to the astral projection part yet, so I'm looking forward to that aspect of it.
I did that once, but not as part of the class, and it was totally by happenstance. But I was just totally amazed that I was where I was. I didn't fly there. I was just there. And as soon as I got read about, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the reason I picture myself flying is because I like that experience of going up, you know, and flying. And from what I remember reading is, and what I used to do at night when I would meditate was I would go up and I would make a decision. Do I want to go into the future? Do I want to go into the past? Do I want to go somewhere in the here and now? And then I would decide, and I would do that. And the only thing I could never do was go into the future. And I never felt calm enough or good enough to do that. I was like very hesitant, but I was always able to like visit my past and visit places in the present. So. And that's why I can do it now. So, and, of course, like I said, working with every week.
Do you think it's possible to go to the future, or you just weren't
able to do
that?
that's what I read. That's like all my learning before I met Jackie was reading. You know, I didn't have much access to any kinds of classes. I might have taken one or two over the many years that I was interested in this stuff, but, you know, so it's like all from books, and the book said that you could go up and go past or present or future, but I could never make it to the future.
Maybe you are not meant to know, at least not right now.
That's true. Or you didn't want to, you know.
One or the other.
Oh,
that could be too.
There's a certain excitement with not knowing what's going to happen.
I'd be afraid to know. You know, I'd just probably stay in bed and pull the covers over my head, maybe. Or maybe not.
Well, you know, I've also since I know Jackie, I've gotten into Reiki. And Reiki is a very meditative practice, and it's very much in tune with the earth. You know, you send your healing to everyone. In fact, part of the practice is to send it to people who don't like you, you know, or who you don't like, is to send it to everyone. So it's a very humbling experience, you know, and, you know, send it to people that are your relatives and that you love and to people that you don't like and also to Mother Earth. So when you start practicing something like Reiki, you get a good sense of, you know, getting more in tune with your psychic abilities. At least I think so. And part of why I got interested in it is because of the psychic development, which would be with, you know, that Jackie had. So it all becomes like one big cycle. And then meeting you and meeting Dana, that was, you know, just cherries on the cake there. So.
It was, actually. Another providential.
Yeah.
No such
right.
thing as, what is it, coincidence here.
Right, because we all live within 5 minutes of each other, you know, so...
But 45 minutes away from the center,
They haven't said where 45 minutes, but Diane and Dana and Vera and Dave, they drive down from Pennsylvania every week.
And it turns out we all live within 10 minutes of each other.
Yeah.
It must be a psychic neighborhood or something.
Well, it's comforting to know that they're, you know, if something weird happens, I can call somebody and go, you know what, I just saw a flashing light out of the corner of my eye, and actually have somebody on the other end go, well, do you think it's your mother? You know, like, instead of, like, I think you should see an eye doctor, you know, so.
Yeah, like, that's something my family would say to me. Oh, you're just going nuts. You're going crazy.
Right.
But all
that's,
right,
you know, that's, I actually did have that phone conversation with Dana last week, so that's why it came to mind.
All right, Vera, we got a caller from Canada named Jay who has questions for us. I'm going to keep you on the line, too.
Well,
I know, right?
Okay, and I'll be listening, all right?
In the world. Here we go. All right, Jay, how you doing? Thank you for waiting.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks so much for letting me be part of the show.
No problem. So you said you have questions for each and every one of us here?
Yeah, I just wondered, developing psychic abilities, I just wondered, does one clair come in first and then do the rest follow as you develop spiritually, or is it one that is, how would you say it, is more focused than any other one, and the other ones don't really matter? I know some people have the ability to see and some people don't. Just wonder about your feedback on my question is.
Everybody's different with which abilities are stronger, especially when they first start. What I recommend is people trying out each little different exercise, and you're usually drawn more to one, or you can almost feel like you're drawn more to one. Some people, like I said, resonate more with energy, so they seem to do better with exercises where they're more clairsentient. So that's when you're able to feel things. Sometimes you can actually feel what another person is experiencing or feeling, even if it's somebody who has crossed over. You know, those people are able to feel what they've passed from. Whereas people who know what's coming, like they know the future, they can kind of, they either see snapshots or images or they get something in their head that makes them feel like what's about to happen, that's more the clairvoyance. So they're more drawn to developing that. Everybody has something a little different, but until you start, you know, when you're first doing it, you know, playing around with a little bit of the exercises to see which one you're, you know, is something you're more drawn to or something you're a little bit more stronger at. That's how we do it in class. So people have been able to see, like Dana was saying, she doesn't feel that strong with psychometry, but she feels really good with clairvoyance, you know, or getting, you know, some answers from spirit. Whereas we have another person he's fantastic with the psychometry. He can give you a book's worth of information off of one object. So, but they didn't know that until they started doing all the little exercises. And especially with psychometry, I recommend people, you know, picking things up, you know, or even if it's somebody, one of their friends or a relative, that they have an object and they play around with that, seeing what they feel on it, what they're getting. You'll know. You'll definitely know if you feel like you're drawn to that type of the psychic side. And you guys are the ones who are developing yours as well. So how did you know which?
Well, I mean, I always see visually. I mean, I can see pictures of people in my mind, but I can't hear a thing. But I'll have a conversation in my head. But we have one guy; he actually hears voices mm-hmm. outside his ears, and we've looked at him, and you can actually sometimes see like an aura or a small light around yeah. his ears when there's some kind of energy speaking to him. I don't hear any of that, and I never have, and a couple of other people have, but not me. Mm-hmm. But I do tend to see things, you know, and it's. That's just I'm just better at seeing yeah. better at seeing things, and because I'm a very visual person anyway. So, and I'm just trusting what I'm seeing. And mm-hmm. in I can you know I've described dresses and I've described hairdos and I've described faces and facial hair and height and age and not always, but I have gotten it pretty darn close to. Somebody's relative or something enough mm-hmm. that they say, oh my God, I know that person exactly, you know, which is always kind of, I'm still kind of shocked when I get these things.
Well,
right.
Some people are more, that's one point you made was some people are more visual.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, like I always say, they get snapshots or little movie reels, which is how I see things. Mm-hmm. So I might be able to describe it, but I'm actually visualizing it. And when I hear somebody, I hear their voice, like it's not a it's a different voice. So if there's somebody talking to me, it's a different voice where other people will hear the person, but it's coming in through their mind.
Me, yeah.
And they're getting – so everybody gets it a little bit different. It depends on, you know, really where you are more developed. Now, I'm just somebody who's always had a ridiculous hearing. Like, my hearing has always been like that. It's acute, you know, so I don't know if that's part of the reason that, you know, it's a little bit easier for me, or maybe it's just that, you know, after a while, I wasn't always like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't always hearing it in a different voice. It's just constantly, you know, using it and working on it and interacting, you know, with spirits. Eventually, you know, like we were just saying, everybody's going to get different. So.
Are you able to do anything?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you.
Oh.
Part of it, well, part of the conversation.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've been actually even I'm more clairvoyant than anything else, but what I find with the meditation I'm doing, I'm finding that that I'm bringing the sights, sound, and smell of the situation into the situation, if you want to call it that, more.
Hmm.
And randomly I'm astral projecting to but it's kind of sporadic, it's not really consistent, so yeah,
it usually happens and then you'll learn to control them as you feel stronger with one or the other.
What part of Canada are you calling from?
Western Canada.
Oh,
nice. It's probably still light out there right now. Mentioned astral projection. We were talking about that in the last psychic development class. Just kind of go over our own experiences with it. And I always said that I had this dream that I was starting out in my old house where I grew up, and I would sit in the windowsill. I'd just kind of step outside, and if I concentrated hard enough, I would go up. I would just kind of float away. And when I mentioned that to Jackie, she's like, you know, that's actually astral projection. That's what you're doing right there. And it was interesting. I never was able to interpret it as what I just thought it was a dream. But it was the thing that caught me was it was always the same thing. It was always the same starting point. I mean, I'd maybe go a little bit left or go a bit right next time, but it was always the same starting point. And the area around was pretty much my neighborhood. You know, when you have a dream about something, certain aspects change. You know, it might be close to what it is, but there's certain little things different how your mind would want them to see it. And it was, for me, it was exactly like the layout of the neighborhood. And here I was just kind of hovering over, not flying, but just hovering and bringing myself back down, hovering again and moving around, just having a good old time with it. But in these classes, you know, people don't realize that they all have that power and they're all able to do it, but, you know, we can.
Yeah. That's so true.
So true. So now,
maybe you can astral project and come visit us sometime.
Yeah.
I wasn't joking. I was being serious.
Yeah, Tuesday night.
Another microphone and headset echo I got to deal with then. Oh, wonderful.
We have Tuesday night classes, so you can. That's Tuesday night's good.
Now, when did you start realizing you had all these gifts?
Who are we asking, actually?
You. Yeah, you.
you or Jay? Okay.
Jay.
So what was the question again? I could hardly hear him.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, he wanted to know, when did you realize you had these gifts and started working on them?
Well, actually, it was a while back. I just didn't know anything about what it was actually doing. I had a sense of things going on, but I didn't realize what they were or what they meant. So I just started developing in 2003, but I knew something was on when I started to actually do stuff, but actually a sense of knowing and clairsentient, I think that's what it is, that is a knowing, and some of the things that happened with, you know, 9/11, for example, and other stuff in my life where, you know, it came possible, it was true, right? It was happening in that moment, so I don't know, that's some of my examples, eh? So, but
so are you self-taught? Are you self-taught, or did you just do reading, and or did you work with other people?
I just started doing lots of meditation, actually, to clear my mind, and but that was 2003. But before that, I was getting stuff too, but I didn't know what it meant. I thought it was just I didn't have a label or anything like that, or what it means. So I started investigate it more. Yeah.
Do you talk with anybody about it, or is it just like a private thing you do on your own?
Well, I don't talk to anybody about it, but I have one person at work where I'm, you know, the person, you know. He didn't have to tell me anything. My other coworker says I'm guessing, but you know, I got the father's, you know, his father's name and middle name of the mother and what he was eating the last day before. So, and I wouldn't be thinking about it. I would be going like, wow, like Dawn. You know, what does that mean? You know, oh, that's my dad's name. You know, I told him what birthplace, right? Where's birth? And I didn't guess. I actually said the right city, actually, in Canada. Oh, yeah. Is that the right city? I was asking him, is that your right city? Yeah, yeah. So, I get it that way. I just don't do it that. I don't do that because it's invasion of privacy unless I'm doing a reading or something. But I just don't. I kind of know what's going on. You know what? I had a psychic event just, you know, the before the Boston Marathon bombing. I had a really strong sensation that something was going to happen. Something was being planned, and something did actually happen. So I just get that feeling. So I just feeling in the air.
Yeah.
Huh?
It must be frustrating when those are when those bad events happen, because you don't know exactly what it is, and when it does happen, there's nothing you could have done about it anyway.
And there's a lot of people that get that kind of information, so it's scary for them, you know. They get the more of the of negative things that are coming.
When you said about the Boston Marathon, now, did you specifically feel that, and when, or was it just the connection was made once you saw it, went, oh, my God, that's it?
No, I said something's being planned here. Something's going to happen. Something's going to be planned. I didn't know. I knew something event was coming up. I didn't know where it was, but it was something being planned. Just a weird feeling. So, I had a number of race car drivers I used to like really watch until I watched them died on TV when I, you know, just, you know, waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, would rush to the TV and watch them, you know, die in a car crash, you know. I started doing that. So.
Yeah.
Well, I used to get stuff when I was younger, but I never really talked to anybody because everyone thought I was crazy if I did. One of the nice things about coming here is that when I experience things and I tell people here, they're like, oh, yeah, really? Oh.
Now people think it's me. Like, people that walk in and go, oh, my God, I can't believe this kind of place is here.
Yeah, I can.
Well, we're still weird, but we're more accepted.
I can come in and say, you'll never guess what happened to me today, and if I was with my family, they'd be going, oh, that's just a coincidence. And
then somebody here will tell you before you tell them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never guess what happened to me today.
Yes, we will.
I'm like, oh, really cool. Somebody else will be like,
yeah.
I think we need to put you somewhere.
Well, you should have seen the look on everybody's face at work when I, you know, because I saw somebody sitting in my chair that wasn't really there. And I was coming back from the copier, and they were sitting in my chair, and I jumped back and went, ah! Because I wasn't expecting it. And everybody looked at me like I was strange. And they said, what's the matter with you? And I said, there was somebody sitting in my chair. And they're like, yeah, right, Foley, okay. Yeah. So.
All right, Jay. Well, it's almost our bedtime over here on the East Coast in the good old United States here. We want to thank you for calling in, though. Thank you for being part of our evening. And we're just going to say good night now to everyone else listening. Thank everyone else for joining us. And again, Jay, thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening all the way from Canada. You have our First Away Listener Award. I'd love to get somebody from Guam or something like that calling in. I think you get a free bologna sandwich with or without cheese, depending on your diet, and it will send it to your house.
Okay.
All right. So we'd like to say thank you very much to all our listeners. We'd like to say thank you again from Pam from Essential Oils for that one commercial. Thank you for everybody that called in. And listen up next week. I think we should be back on Wednesday night, 6:30 or 7-ish, more like 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time over here on the East Coast. And next week's episode should be about... Jackie?
How to protect yourself from negative energy and negative people.
Oh, man, that should be a duty. I myself will probably be calling in from far away. I'm going to be down in Maryland, so away in business. So thank you very much, guys, for calling in. Thank you very much for a great show. And we will all see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.